Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. I'm so excited to be talking with Allison Vila, psychotherapist and relationship expert today. We're going to dive into what the relationship seasons are. We're going to talk about how to keep your bond strong during stressful times like a pandemic. And we did have Allison on the podcast back on episode 17, and she discussed keeping your relationship strong. So you can check that out as well. But first, I'll introduce Allison, and then we'll dive right in. So Allison Vila is a psychotherapist, relationship expert, creator of the Four Relationship Seasons, and host of the Couplehood podcast. She specializes in keeping couples thriving throughout parenthood. As a wife and mother, she understands how raising a family affects the romantic relationship and the challenges that modern parents face. With Allison's virtual therapy practice and online offerings, this Keeping It Real Mama combines her personal and professional experience to teach busy couples to live with intention and to use simple, time-efficient strategies to connect with each other. Allison has been featured on numerous podcasts, blogs, and media outlets, including Breakfast Television and CBC. You can join her VIP community to get free relationship tools and inspiration at www.allisonvila.com. And that's with two L's in both the Allison and the Vila, and on Instagram at Allison Vila. So Allison, thank you for coming back. You're a repeat guest. Your first episode was really popular. And now that we're in, you know, still the thick of the pandemic, I'm sure a lot of couples are being challenged and buttons are being pushed. What are you seeing as some struggles in your practice right now with everything going on?
Hi, Lisa. Well, thank you for having me back. I'm always, honored to be here as a guest on your podcast. I enjoyed our last conversation. So, let's see. There's so many things that have come up over the last 15 months. And the pattern that I have seen is whatever already exists in the relationship pre-pandemic has been magnified throughout the pandemic. And that goes both ways, right? So if there's things that you're really good at as a couple, as a family, those things have been really highlighted throughout this time. And then the areas that might be a little bit more challenging or need attention, those have also become a little bit heavier during this time. So that has been a very clear pattern that I've seen in my private practice and working with my members inside of Couple Sandbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard a good analogy where it's like everything in your dirty closet is pulled out and dumped on the floor all at once, and you have to deal with all of it. So, you know, the kids, the relationship, the stress, and you have a really interesting framework to talk about, you know, the different seasons that relationships go through. And it really resonated with me when I first heard about it, because you kind of think your relationship is just defined by these certain boundaries, you know, it's not that fluid, but relationships really do change, you know, after having a kid, during a pandemic, during different challenges. So would you mind introducing that concept of the seasons for the listeners?
Absolutely. I created the Four Relationship Seasons after noticing patterns in my own relationship, and then also noticing similar patterns in, you know, in my work, in my private practice, then also in my friendships and talking to my friends and seeing that, oh, wow, you know, it's really interesting. Every relationship obviously hits bumps and goes through challenges, which is very much a part of life. But it's not just the going through the rocky moments. It's how we feel when we go through the rocky moments. So we have a feeling, and then we have a feeling about the feeling, right? And that is often the feeling about going through a rocky moment can be self-judgment, or if things aren't good in our relationship right now, this must mean I'm not doing a good job, or there's something wrong with us. Or do you see how it goes into that negative spiral of this isn't okay, right? So I created the seasons to help normalize that, yes, in fact, you can be going through rocky moments in your relationship and you can still be very much in love and be going through a challenging time. And the seasons help to take out the shame and the blame and the self-judgment, because those seasons are very much flowing and every single relationship will go through all four of the seasons and then likely go through them again and again and again throughout your lifetime together. So does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, definitely. So with, you know, what you're presented with and then how you feel about the feelings and the circumstances can help kind of guide you in terms of which season you're in. And then I've heard you talk about, you know, there's strategies to work in that season because, you know, if you're in, I know one of the seasons is coping, right? And a lot of people were in that, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, they still may be. But in the coping season, you're not going to have necessarily time for date nights, but there's strategies to still connect with your partner in real tangible ways, and it doesn't have to be overwhelming.
Exactly, exactly. So the four seasons are exactly that first one you named: coping, coasting, connected, and confident. And I like to think about the seasons the same way as the seasons in the weather. So when you know, right now, for example, we are in the spring, but we are on the cusp of summer. So we, at the beginning of spring, it was very rainy. It was really, really cold on some days, but then really sunny on others. But we knew for the most part, we knew we were in the spring, even though there was that shift between super cold days and then a sunny day the next day. We know, okay, this is spring. We know what to expect because this is what spring is like. It's an in-between season. And now as we're getting closer to the summer season, the days are consistently more sunny and we haven't had as much rain, right? So the seasons are, we know what season we're in, even if we are having, like I said, a really cold day versus a really hot day, that's spring, you still know that, oh, these 3 months, we know what to expect during these 3 months. So that's kind of the timeline when I'm going to unpack the seasons for you here. I want you to think about, okay, where have we been as a couple over the last 3 to 4 months or so, usually is the minimum for seasons, because seasons will typically last even longer, relationship seasons. But it's that same idea of the four seasons in the weather, is that we're going to flow through them. We're not going to jump from spring and then jump into the fall. We have to flow through summer to get to the fall and then to get to the winter. So it's the same idea with the relationship seasons. We would flow from coping to coasting to connected to confident. So coping is when there is an external factor that is taking up all of your time or the majority of your time and resources. So examples of those factors could be having a baby, starting a new job, a loss in the family, a move, a renovation, any sort of big change, also a pandemic, right? Anything that is interrupting the flow of your lifestyle. And this is really important to name, because sometimes there are things that we very much are being intentional about, right? Maybe, you know, you're being intentional about having a renovation, or you're intentional about growing your family, or you're even intentional about looking for that new job, right? These things can be intentional, but we also need to acknowledge that they will take our time and energy. And we all have a finite amount of time and energy, which means when our time is being pulled away to that new baby who needs so much of us in that first year, especially, that means we have less time and energy for the relationship. It's not to say we don't have love and respect for each other. It simply means that our time is being taken up by that thing that needs our time and attention right at that moment. Does that resonate?
It does. Yeah. We can feel, yeah, really depleted. You know, I remember after Stuart was born and I've told about my journey, but you're really on survival mode and you don't have that extra energy or even brain space to think about how are we going to, you know, stay connected. It's like, let's just get through the day. We just have to make it through.
Mm-hmm. I love that you're sharing your own experience, right? Recognizing when Stuart was born, you can really resonate like, oh yeah, we were in that coping season then.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah. So I'm sure a lot of moms go through that. And then in the beginning of the pandemic, it was the same thing when Stuart was home from preschool. His preschool is still open right now. So we're really grateful. Giving props. I know that's such an old term to say, but props to all the moms and families out there that have their kids at home and they're trying to homeschool and plan for the summer while trying to keep those businesses. So I think a lot of our listeners, you know, may be in that coping season. So what are some good strategies when you're in the coping season to still make time and space to connect with your partner, to still have an intention for your relationship or couple?
This is the most common question that I get, because this is when couples come to me like, something is not okay. There's been a big change. What do we do? How do we fix it? How do we make it better? And the first thing I want to say, yes, there are actionable items, but first I really, really want to normalize and just acknowledge that it's so important to be in the discomfort of the moment. And that's often where a lot of the personal work is, oh my gosh, this is so uncomfortable for me. I don't like how I'm feeling, but this is how we move through it, is we unpack that, like, wow, why is this so uncomfortable for me? And checking in with our own childhood experience. Of course, the therapist being me, I'm going to talk about your childhood experience. I can't help but you guys. But really, like, when things come up in that way, that discomfort around certain emotions or things happening, it is that opportunity to look inwards, because it is the inner child who really wants, who needs attention and needs extra love, right? So that is an opportunity to explore that discomfort. And this is not about you being a problem that needs to be fixed. This is so important. This is why I'm naming it. It's you are going through something and we are going to move through it together, right? The problem and fixing thing, it puts a negative spin on your experience. You know, this problem, let's say you have a baby. This is not a problem, right? This is this is one of the seasons of life. This is why it's so important, right? That we're naming it as a season. It's not a problem. It is a situation and we're going to try to work through it. And so there's not a solution. It's how can you work to make sense of this experience? Because this challenge that you're going through, this season that you're going through, you're going to have to integrate it into your life story and make sense of it. So this is also part of the growing, is being with that discomfort through reflection and all that good stuff.
I love that.
Yeah, I know.
Allow yourself to feel it instead of try to push it away or shove it down. I think that's really important to note.
Yeah, really, it is. It's so important. And so as a couple, what do you do when you're in this coping season? You don't have a lot of extra energy and time for each other, but you have that longing to stay connected, which is so wonderful and so important to listen to. How do you do that when you don't have that extra time and energy? So there's two things in the coping season that you can do. And number one is express how you feel. And number two is ask for what you need. So the first thing is expressing how you feel, which I mentioned earlier, right? Going inwards, like, what am I feeling? Wow, what am I having these big reactions about? Or be curious about yourself, about what's coming up for you, especially becoming new parents. There's a lot of stuff that comes up, right? Your sense of self is shifting. Each of you as individuals, right? Your relationship is you as two individuals coming together to make your couple. So you are each on your own individual journeys. And the more you can understand yourself during this time, the better you're going to be able to ask for what you need and to communicate that to each other so that your relationship can stay strong. So this is why the expressing how you feel, and of course, before you can express how you feel, you have to figure it out yourself. You have to go inwards. So that can look like so many things, right? That can look like journaling or art therapy or using your hands in some capacity that activates the left and right brain, right? This really brings you into the moment. Working with a trusted professional, whether that's a therapist or a naturopath like yourself, Lisa, or even having a trusted friend who you can talk things through with. This is helping you to understand yourself. And then when you know yourself, you can express that and share that with your partner.
I love that. Yeah. So really getting in tune with what's going on and then communicating effectively. Like maybe it's okay, I need a little bit of space. I have the kids around me all the time and you know, I love you, but I need to have a little bit of alone time. So trying to, yeah, tap into that and then making that happen where possible.
Exactly. Exactly. And also in those moments in the coping season, we can, because when we are coping, it's hard to think about our partner sometimes, right? Because we're so in it and we're so, you use the word surviving, right? You're in that survival mode. And sometimes you're not able to empathize or really even consider your partner. So this is my gentle nudge to you, is go inwards and do your own work, but also have that curiosity about your partner. Like, oh, I'm noticing this is happening for me. What's like, how are you feeling about all of this? Right? What is going on for you? And curiosity is such a beautiful way to connect with yourself and with your partner. Because sometimes we get into this patterns. I don't know if you can relate, Lisa, that we just feel like, well, I know everything about my partner. Like, and we make these assumptions like, oh, I know what they're going to say. It's so obvious. I don't even need to ask them. I know what they're going to say and how they're going to respond. Do you ever do that?
Yes. Yeah. You feel like you know them inside and out and you don't, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And in the coping season, there's so much growth happening that we want to be extra curious with each other, because this, when you go through challenging things in your life, this is how each of you grow. And this is, so you're in the coping season, especially, you are going through growth, and growth can be uncomfortable and challenging, but it's happening. And that's why we want to be extra curious with ourselves and with our partners. So I encourage you to, you know, try not to slip into assuming, because there's so much growth happening. You are always growing every single day, and most especially in the coping season, right? When you go through challenges in your relationship, it is your greatest opportunity for growth and for deeper connection, because you are building your resiliency.
Right. Yeah. I love that word, resiliency. And it takes, you know, intention. And it sounds like takes effort for the mamas who are so busy. Like, is there a certain time of the day? Like, how do you set that intention and time aside to actually communicate and ask for what you need? What would that look like in some situations?
That's a great question. And it really does depend on each family, because sleep is a very personal thing, and sleep is the foundation of everything. So sleep will affect obviously your physical health, your emotional health, and your neurological health. And your brain health is how you regulate everything else in your body, right? Especially your emotions. So if you're not able to regulate yourself, then it could also be a reflection of lack of sleep. And so coming back to that, sleep is really a sign of love, helping each other to get good sleep. So depending on, where your sleep is at, I would recommend where are the times of day that you feel the most energetic, right? Is it during the daytime? Is it at lunchtime? Is it during baby's first morning nap that you have an opportunity to have a tea together? And even just 5 minutes of being still, sitting down, look at each other. You know, sometimes our days are so busy that we're in each other's company, but we're not really even looking at each other or taking each other in. So I would recommend where are those times of day where you feel the most energized, and make those your 5-minute check-in moments.
I love that. So yeah, it's really individualized. So looking at your sleep, your energy levels, your schedule, and then making that happen and being, you know, consistent with it, and it doesn't have to take long at all. So that's a great tip there. Is there anything else about the coping season that we should know, and that, you know, things we can do to move, you know, through and, you know, coasting, getting into the coasting season?
I want to emphasize so much in that coping season, keep talking to each other, keep even the things that aren't happening. Like, you know, if you're not intimate right now and you're really missing that part of yourself and you're really missing that connection with your partner, talk about it, keep naming it. Like, I really miss when we did this, or I really miss going on date nights with you, or the things that you feel that deep longing for. Just keep naming them out loud. And it doesn't, I know we live in a culture and a society that's very action-based. You know, we always want to do. And when you're in the coping season, it's less about the doing and more about being and acknowledging like, we aren't able to have date nights. And I just want to name that I really miss that, right? Keeping the presence of these things alive during the coping season is what keeps you in connection and allows you to move into coasting with a little bit more ease.
Right. I think, yeah, I love that idea of just talking about, you know, even talking about the memories of, oh, remember when we went to that concert, and remember when we went to different restaurants and yes. had dinner parties, and even just bringing that memory alive sounds like it could be really beneficial, and letting your partner know you miss that and acknowledging, you know, eventually we will get to that. We just don't know when.
Exactly, right? It's a season. We know we're not going to be here forever. We are in motion, even though it might feel really slow or like you're stuck. Believe me, you are moving. You are moving forward. And the more you keep talking, the more you are going to see that movement.
Amazing.
So let's talk about the coasting season. Coasting is when you have just come out of that coping season, dealing with something really huge in your life. And now you're trying to reintegrate. Okay, now we have a little bit of time for each other as a couple. And how do we do this now, right? Let's use the example of having a new baby. Now you have a little more time and space, but you've got this baby. Like, how do we do this now as a couple? How does our couple fit into this? So often, what I see in the coasting season is a lot of time is spent doing things as a family, and often people are really great as a family team, but they haven't figured out how to integrate just that couple time into their life yet. And the reason for that is because you've just come through something really big, and you are, remember we talked about your sense of self, it has changed because of what you've gone through. And now we're in coasting and trying to figure that out. I like to think about coasting as being on a bicycle, and you know, when you're like going down a hill and you're coasting and you don't have to pedal and things seem pretty great. And then when you get to the bottom of the hill, and what happens at the bottom of the hill, Lisa?
Well, if you don't pedal, you're going to fall off your bike.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So this is a little bit of a danger zone season for that reason, because things can seem really great because you just came from coping and this is way better, right? But you can only coast for so long without putting that energy directly into the couple, not the family, just into your relationship. And this is what we often see, is people sit in the coasting season for years and years. Like, this is where people say, I don't know how 5 years just flew by, or I don't know how 10 years just flew by. Or people will even say, oh my gosh, my kids are moving out and I'm a little bit nervous about what it's going to be like with just my partner and I in the house, because they've been coasting for so long. They've been great as the family team, but oh my gosh, the couple has totally been on the back burner for 15 to 20 years. This happens. This is the empty nest syndrome that we hear about. So this is why I say it's a little bit of a danger zone to be in the coasting season for too long.
It's having that intention, right? Pete and I really try to have time. We make time on Friday afternoons as much as possible to have just time to connect and do something together. It doesn't always happen, but you know, before that, we might have had a date night once every few months, and you could see how the years fly by without you not having that quality time that you once did have.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I like to think about your relationship is like a flower. So if you think about a flower, it's on your windowsill. And if you just leave it there and you're like, we'll just water it in a couple of months. And I like to think about that watering it every couple of months is like, oh, we'll just go on a vacation and we'll go on a 1 week vacation once a year and that'll be good for us. But think about then the flower, it cannot just survive on getting fed once a year or once every few months. It needs a little bit of water, a little bit of sun, and probably someone speaking nicely to it every once in a while, right? Mm-hmm. To survive and to thrive. So I think that's a really great metaphor for the relationship, because we don't want to just douse it in water every so often, because it won't survive. It won't thrive in that environment. It's the same thing for your relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's such a great metaphor. And even, I've seen, friends who went through divorce growing up, they didn't see their, one parent very much, but then when the parent would see them, they would get these lavish gifts, and I don't think it really made up for it. So I love that metaphor. I think that's a great visual. So the continual small, like watering, giving it sunshine and room to grow is really key.
Mm-hmm. And you naming, like you and Pete noticing, oh wow, when we have these little date nights, more consistent date nights, we feel much more connected. So that's what we're going for in the coasting season, is first of all, like carving out, like I said, even that 5 to 10 minutes once a week where you just talk about you and take interest in each other. And the rule for consistent couple time, quality couple time, is no talking about work, no talking about kids, and no talking about the house. So this is like, those are off the table. Bring it back to you. Be curious about each other. And also supporting each other in self-care. Because remember, you've just come from coping season where you probably have not had a lot of time and space to focus on yourselves as individual. And we need two solid individuals in order to have an awesome couple. So coasting season is where you get to help each other with that. Like, okay, you need to go and go do your, walk with a friend every couple of mornings a week. And I'm going to go, my husband, as you may know, is an avid cyclist. And so he goes on these really long bike rides. Nice. And so this is part of our family schedule, is that he will go on his bike rides once a week, depending on the weather. And so that's how we decide when his self-care time is okay, what's the weather telling us, right? So we very much help each other taking the self-care time. That is a real act of love, is saying like, I see you as an individual and I want to help you feel good about you.
Mm-hmm. You see, a lot of times it can be unbalanced, right? Where one person is really good at giving themselves a little bit of time, but the other person is just constantly giving to other people. So I love that, helping your partner too, if they're the type that's like, no, I'm just going to clean the house instead of go for my bike ride, or really, emphasizing the need for them to take that time for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the focus in the coasting season. And then when we get into connected season, this means that you are at a place where your self-care comes very easily. It's very much a part of the family schedule. Your kids are, they know what to expect. They love that you go and do your own self-care, because P.S. kids love seeing you having your own life. It's so good for them to see. It puts less pressure on them because they realize like, oh, my parents' happiness does not rely on me, solely on me and my behavior and how I be in the world. When they see that you have your own things going on, it allows them to just be kids, and that it's also great modeling for them to realize like, oh, my parents, like they have their own things too, and I have my own things. This is part of autonomy. It's really, really healthy. So when you're in the connected season, you are really great. You have smooth self-care, both of you. And now you're at a place where you're getting clear on your family and relationship vision, which is very fun and super, super exciting.
Wow. So actually like planning what you want your life to look like down the road. I was part of your couple's sandbox and I love your membership. And this was one of the exercises, right? Where you look ahead in terms of what's your dream house look like? Where do you want to live, by the mountains or by the ocean? And it was just so expansive to do that, because a lot of times, we're in our bubble and we just move forward, but we don't think big, I think, as you call it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Dream big.
Dream big. Right.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you're bringing that up and that it resonated for you, because, right, looking at all these different facets of your family and relationship vision. Like, what is your community? What are your values? What do you want your relationship to look like? Do you want to travel? What's your spiritual vision? All of these pieces that when you see them on paper and see them on a timeline, you get excited and you get clarity as a couple. And this is what makes you feel really connected, is having that shared vision. And not just the shared vision, but now that the vision is clear, guess what? It's clear now, and you can take steps towards making that happen together as a couple. And so as you're taking those steps, imagine how great that feels. Like, oh my gosh, we're working towards this, and it's happening. It's so exciting, and it feels so good to do that together.
Yeah, because a lot of times we're not even aware of what we want. We're just kind of doing it because this is what we've always done. This is what society says is right. But I know you as a family too have broken the mold, right? I think you guys lived away in Mexico. Like, a lot of people don't even entertain those ideas because it's not on their radar. So I love that activity.
Yes, I thank you for naming that, because we do get into these rhythms and we don't even realize, oh my gosh, we could try to do things a different way. And that is a really important thing to consider, because, you know, especially being parents, our kids, they have so many needs and they can be all consuming and they can take up our day-to-day life, which our days turn into weeks and turn into months and turn into years if we aren't intentional and even take these 5 to 10 minutes to go through these simple conversations like what we're discussing today, right? They make such a big, big difference.
Definitely. So I'm sure you'll talk more about the couple sandbox at the end, but it's an amazing online membership to help you stay connected. And like, there's tangible activities. It's not overwhelming. I highly recommend it, but I'm sure we'll get into that.
You're so sweet.
I think it's so important all the time, and especially now too. So thank you for creating that. It sounds like, yeah, in the connected phase, you have that self-care, you have that time carved out for your couple, you're looking ahead. Is there anything else we need to know about the connected phase?
That is, well, the family and relationship vision is quite detailed and nuanced. So like, that is like a really fun thing to do together. And then once you have that clarity, and that means now that you're moving towards your family and relationship vision, that's a great sign that you are in the confidence season. You know what you're working towards. Your self-care practices are really, really solid. You have that vision. You're already taking steps towards it. So this shows us now that you're in the confidence season. And when you're in the confidence season, the action item here is, now you get to be more curious about your intimacy vision. What do you want your intimacy to look like, right? There's intellectual intimacy, emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy, physical intimacy. There's so many different facets of what intimacy looks like. And when you have this foundation of, like I said, that amazing self-care practice, you've got two solid individuals, you're already working together towards that vision that you're clear on. Wow, now we get to really look at what is intimacy for us? And let's be playful about it and explore that and take that to the next level.
Yeah, I usually think more of when I hear the term intimacy, I think more of physical, sexual, but really cool to identify the physical we said, but the mental, emotional, and spiritual as well, and tapping into those. That's mind-blowing to me.
It is. It's really neat too. And all of those different levels of intimacy can obviously overlap, right? You know, taking your sexual, your physical intimacy to a certain level can deepen your emotional connection. And if you are learning more about spirituality as well, that can also deepen your spirituality and your spiritual intimacy as a couple. It's really, really powerful and profound.
I love that.
Yeah. So those are the four relationship seasons.
Wow. It's such a great analogy. I really like, it's a good visual. You know, the timelines I know are fluid, but it gives you an idea of it. You can stay in those seasons for a little while and then you transition. And then it sounds like, so yeah, if something comes up, you can go from the confident to the coping, and you kind of, you know, accept that and let that pass and work through it. And then you could go through the cycles over and over, depending on life circumstances.
Exactly. And the really neat thing is that once you start identifying, oh, when we're in coping, this is what tends to happen. These are our unique patterns for us as a couple. And when you're able to identify them and understand, like, oh, right, this is what happens for us. And this is what works for us when we're going through that, because you're going to hit coping again. We all will go through coping season again and then again. But the good news is that when you go through it, each time you're better equipped because you've been able to name it and identify the tools that are really helpful for you as a couple.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a framework and a strategy that can help you, you know, through your whole relationship, life cycle, if you will. So I love that. And what really, you know, surprised me too, well, not surprised me, but I guess I never really thought about it before, was with having that strong relationship and having it in front of your kid or your child or your kids, is really important too, because then it takes that pressure off of them to be the source of happiness and entertainment. Cause a lot of times we can channel our energy just into our kids, and then we don't have that relationship time. Or maybe it's, you know, once they go to bed, which might be really late and everybody's tired. But I've heard you talk about carving out some time in the day too, even when your kids are awake, to strengthen your relationship. Do you mind sharing some tips around that?
Yes, yes. So I'm a huge fan of day dates for multiple reasons. You know, when we have the most energy, typically right now, our world is designed for us to be spending the best parts of our days, like 9 to 5, working productively, or our kids being at school at this point. You know, here in Ontario, our kids are not in school. but typically we're all spending that time apart from each other during the best parts of our day. And even right now, when children might be at home doing virtual school, they're still focused on something else. They're not focused on being together as a family. And even if you are working from home, you know, you're home, but your energy is still being put towards your work. And so how do we shift that to carving out some of that precious daytime where we do have our most energy towards what really is the most important thing to us, which I know that your family and your relationship is so important to you. So how do you carve out that time in the middle of the day? And I know, especially during this pandemic where so many people are home together, it has been a really great opportunity to have lunch dates with each other, right? Right. Oh my gosh. You know, like now lunch, we don't have to travel anywhere. We just like travel downstairs to our kitchen and we can coordinate our lunch so that we can sit together and eat our meal together and connect. Oh my gosh, during the day when we actually have some more energy compared to the evening time, typically where that's where we're connecting when the kids are asleep. Mm-hmm. So that's been one really neat thing that I've seen couples doing over the past 15 months is carving out that lunchtime.
Great recommendation. You could get, you know, make a favorite meal or get, you know, take it from your local restaurant, but really, and then that's a time when you have that energy, your gas tank's not almost empty. You have stuff to give to each other.
Yes, yes, exactly. And even on the weekends, you know, pre-pandemic, when our kids were a little bit younger, we would even have a babysitter come on a Saturday morning-ish or even midday and just take our kids to the park. So take our kids away from our home so we can have time within our home just with each other, or vice versa, right? Whereas, or the sitter would come, hang out with our kids, and then we would go away from the home. So you get to decide what that couple time looks like. Does it look like you needing that time in your own home, or does it look like you needing that time outside of your home? But that daytime piece is really key, right? Nice to connect when you have energy for each other. It feels really good. It's a whole lot different than that evening energy.
Mm-hmm. Those are some great strategies. I didn't think about getting the sitter coming in the day and then either staying home or going out. So I love that. And before we actually started recording, we talked a little bit about, you mentioned there's something about an epigenetic impact of our relationship that we have with our partner on our children. Do you mind talking about that a little bit? Like when they see us engaged and in a romantic relationship, how does that then influence them, their health, their relationships down the road?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I feel so passionately about this because the whole premise and the reason I do what I do is because I know that how you love each other today will live on in generations to come. And when we live in a culture where we're taught to focus so much on parenting our children, my mission is to have a movement of parents in love, because we forget that that love from the top down, it filters into our kids in such an incredible way. And epigenetics shows us through research that how we love each other truly lives on genetically in our bodies through our kids. So epigenetics it's actually quite new. They only discovered epigenetics in the 90s. And it is the study of how your behavior and your environment can cause changes that affect the way your genes work. So it doesn't change your genes, but it affects how your body reads your genes. So let's say, for example, you know, the common gene that we hear about is the cancer gene. And let's say you get past the cancer gene in your body. The amazing news in what epigenetics has shown us is that how you behave and the environment around you can affect how your body reads that cancer gene. So things like nutrition, exercise, eating habits, sleeping choices, how you sleep, the stress in your life. And the last piece, we hear these ones a lot, how you eat, how you, your lifestyle, we hear those ones a lot. But what we don't hear often is that love affects your epigenetics. Love affects how your body reads your genes. So how you are loved, how you love others, it affects your biology. And this can be observed at the DNA level. So I'm going to give you some examples. So if you are, I'm going to take my family tree, for example, because it's kind of interesting. So my father, born in Italy, family moved here to Canada in the 50s. And both of his parents worked very hard. He was very loved. However, because they worked so much, they physically weren't as present as they could be for him. And so my dad, as a result, not a super snuggly guy. And very interestingly, he meets my mom, does come from a snuggly family, okay? And now they make babies together. And now, so my brother and I, how we were loved, we were shown a lot of physical love, a lot of cuddling, a lot of physical affection, because that came from my mom. So I'm going to just call it like the cuddly gene, okay? So the cuddly gene for my dad, it might have been present for him, but because it wasn't nurtured, because of the behavior and the circumstance of his environment, that gene may not have been read and passed on to us, but because one of our parents had the snuggly gene and it was reinforced by the behavior specifically from my mom, but from my dad too, he got a little snugglier as we when we were kids. But then you can see how, wow, this behavior encouraged that snuggly gene. Now, guess what? Here I am, and both my brother and I have kids now, and can you guess, are our kids, and I am a very cuddly person, so can you guess, are my kids snuggly or not snuggly, and are they carrying that gene?
Snuggly and carrying the gene.
Exactly. So they've always been carrying the gene, but how their body reads the gene is now like extra snuggly. And so that is what stays with them and is passed down through epigenetics, which is so cool.
It's so fascinating. I never really thought of the love, like we, you know, learn about the nutrition, you know, toxin exposures, etc. But, you know, even thinking about loving kindness meditation can activate your vagus nerve, right? And get you into that parasympathetic rest and digest nervous system. Just thinking about, you know, loving somebody else, sending them love, having gratitude. Yes. It's so powerful. And then that on that genetic level, it's not our fate, right? So these things are so powerful to influence our health in positive ways. And then do you guys have any pets so your kids can use the cuddle gene in that way? Or
oh my gosh, our kids want pets so badly, but we are in the middle of moving and we're like, not yet, not yet. When we're settled, we will do the pets. But yes, my kids have this great longing to, and they love animals so much. Interesting that you mentioned that, because you can see how much that is an extension of them, right? They love horses, they love dogs, they love cats. We just played with a baby goat yesterday. Oh my gosh, so cute. Aww. Yeah.
Adorable.
Country life. But yes, yeah, so it's really neat, isn't it, to see how the love really affects our DNA and how our body reads our DNA and how that really is passed on through from generation to generation.
So powerful. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. And then I want to know, so we've been talking about, you know, positive things to reinforce a relationship. Would you be able to list a few things that could be really toxic that we might not realize that we're doing that can be negatively impacting our partner and our couple?
Anything with communication style.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, communication styles.
Yes. Or any, in any way. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, there's so many things. Well, words are really powerful, right? And words can be used in a really positive way. And sometimes the lack of words, not even the things that we say, but the things that aren't said can really have an effect, a negative effect on the relationship. So even the things that you might be thinking like, oh my gosh, my partner's so great. I really appreciate them. You might have that thought, but you're not saying it out loud. And therefore, your partner might not be internalizing that. They might not know that. So sometimes it's the words are so, so powerful, but also the words that aren't said can be equally as powerful. And in terms of communication, I have this magic phrase. You say it a lot in the Couplehood podcast and with my Sandbox members, but that is, you know, instead of like naming or blaming the other person and generalizing them into one statement, like you don't care about us or you work so much. And obviously that means that you don't care about us. You know, that's like a blanket statement. And I like to reframe those statements into the magic phrase, which is when you do this, it makes me feel this. So it's not that the person is doing that to you, but it's that their actions have an impact on you. And we're all allowed to have feelings. Those are, you know, we all have feelings and it's okay to be affected by each other and to name that. So instead of saying, you know, like I would use the example of like I said earlier, you know, you work so much and that obviously means that you don't care about us. Instead, you would say, when you work late, it makes me feel like we're not important to you. Amazing. So it's shifting that just so slightly, but it really helps the person hear you in a different way.
I think that's such a great way to present it, right? Then it's not that blaming. It's like, this is how I'm feeling. Can you tell me from your perspective, why are you working so much? Like, and is there something we can do to address this concern I have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. Wow. Well, I could talk to you for hours and hours, but I do want to move to the next part of the podcast, unless there's anything we didn't cover that you wanted to talk about.
Oh, goodness. I think we covered so much.
You gave such valuable information. So everybody definitely has to check out your podcast called Couplehood. And I'll give, you know, you can pass on the information about that as well as the Couple Sandbox. Did you want to talk about that a little bit before we go into the next part of the podcast?
Oh, sure. Yes. So Couple Sandbox is my online monthly membership program, and it is designed specifically for parents to reclaim your passion and play. And every month we have a brand new lesson and conversation starters, and everything is small, very impactful conversation starters. So every little video lesson is 5 to 7 minutes because I am a busy parent too. And so that's how I've designed the program to make it really small and manageable. And the whole approach is that simple steps have big impact. And so you can learn more about Couple Sandbox at AllisonVilla.com. And then I really recommend, if you want to get weekly relationship inspiration from me, head over to AllisonVilla.com and take the free relationship season quiz, because then you can figure out what season you're in right now. And then that also helps you know exactly which action item you need at this moment in time. And that's also at AllisonVilla.com.
So valuable. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I love you do help people and couples inject more play and passion. It's not just like, oh, I have to do these exercises. We have to sit down and have this long drawn out conversation. You make it really fun and engaging. And I think, you know, you usually say it's listening to the videos or watching the videos, I mean, is like better than watching Netflix. And
yeah.
So Everybody has time for a little bit of Netflix. You have 5 to 7 minutes to watch these really empowering videos that can help change your relationship. So these are great offers. So we'll link to those in our show notes. And then we'll shift to the next part of the podcast. So we'll talk about our super mom moment. Did you want to go first, Allison, or did you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. So yeah, just talking about tapping into emotions, right? And letting yourself be uncomfortable with it. With kids, you know, when they start to get angry, sometimes they can, you know, hit and lash out. And, you know, my inclination initially is like, stop, don't do that. When they're hitting, obviously, that's a different story. But when Stuart gets upset, he would kind of like, you know, storm off or punch or kick. But I'm trying to work with him to see what tools are helping him release that emotion. So I started yelling in a pillow, and then he was yelling in a pillow when he got mad, and then we were laughing about it after. And then, you know, we do a little bit of a breathing exercise and then talk about, you know, how he was feeling. So we're still trying to figure out, you know, what works for each of us to release some of the emotions, but we're looking at ways to just feel it and let it out of our body. So I think that's my super mom moment, not trying to like stop the emotion, but channel it in a productive way, if you will.
Oh my gosh, I love that you're normalizing anger. This is so powerful. Good for you.
It can be challenging, right? Because it's like, why are you getting mad? Because I put that on the wrong part of your plate or something.
Yes,
like, okay,
yes.
I'll let you feel it. Okay. It's the end of the world. But what's your super mom moment, Allison?
My super mom moment. I feel this is kind of a bigger moment, a more generalized moment, but, you know, here in Ontario over the past 15 months, our kids have been in school and there was a lot of changing in rules for school, like this, wear a mask inside, wear a mask outside. Now we're not wearing a mask. Now we're online. Now we're kind of both. Like, there was a lot of in and outs, and my super mom moment, it felt in September, I just felt like I need consistency for our children. And so we made a really big decision as a family. Our children are 7 and 9, so they were part of the decision to, because I was like, this in and out is not, this is not healthy. This is not working for our family. And so we decided in February to take them out of school and homeschool. And it was a really, I would say, I don't even want to just say super mom moment. I would say super parent moment, because I really credit us as a couple for making that decision. But it was very empowering, because now we're in June and our children are doing so well, and they have grown academically and emotionally because of that consistency that we have created for them. And, you know, if you'd asked me that in February, I would have been like, what are we doing? I don't even know. We're flailing. But now this is why it feels like that super mom feeling, is that here we are in June, so many months later, and I feel like, oh my gosh, it's working. And I feel really proud of that for all four of us.
That's definitely a super mom moment. And you're still running the business. You have the podcast, you have the membership, you're doing, you know, renos, you're building a house. This is amazing. So let's celebrate that. And I'm glad, it's working out. So that consistency, it sounded like, was key, the predictability for your family. Amazing. So I know you're doing a great job, but we'll try to dig deep and think of a mama mess up if we can. I can go first if you like.
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. So one of Stuart's friends left preschool. They're keeping her home during the summer, and the mom reached out to set up a play date. And that was about a month ago. And Stuart keeps asking. So I haven't carved out the time yet to actually set a date and for them to, you know, play outside together. But that's going to be put into my calendar right now. So just getting caught up with things. And I know he was really close with her. So I'm going to make that a priority. So that's a mama mess up for me. What's yours, Allison?
Wow, yours is like easier.
Well, I have to do one every week, so I had a worse one last week. Well, I've admitted some pretty bad things, so.
Well, I mean, I sometimes drop F-bombs, and, you know, my kids are older, and I I have a thing about swearing, and I don't think swearing is bad. I feel like swearing at somebody is like swearing because you're passionate about something is one thing, but swearing at a person is not okay. When I get frustrated, sometimes the F word comes out and I know that that's obviously not appropriate, especially in front of my kids. But I will say in those moments where I am emotionally flooded and I am not regulated in those moments where the F-bomb comes out, I'm not swearing at my kids. I'm more like F, you know, like in the frustration like that. But they witness that, right? And I will say I am good at unpacking that with them afterwards and apologizing and naming how I would do that differently. But that's my mess up. It's like, I'm still working on those moments where I am frustrated and I'm not regulated. That's just like an ongoing area where, you know, I think we all can relate to that, but
definitely. Yeah, we've all been there, but you turned it into a super mom moment because you're talking through it and explaining what happened. So you're doing a great job. You're still doing a great
human.
Job.
We're human. Yes,
exactly. And then what is your mama must have? So something that, you know, has been getting you through this time that you can't live without. I'll go first, but I mentioned it before, really trying to, you know, really booking that time with Pete in the afternoon, even if it's half an hour, you know, late afternoon, just to have some quality time together is really key. And then there's an app, Bands in Town. That's really good too. So we've been watching some of the concerts on there. So it lists all the artists that are doing online concerts like over the next few months, and you can get tickets and stream it. So we've had a couple of dates watching one of those. Those would be more at night after Stuart's gone down, but still trying to keep that relationship strong. And what's your mama must have, Allison?
I was going to say something similar. My mama must have is my husband because he is the bomb. He's honestly my favorite person. And I feel so grateful for him on so many levels. He is, you know, we carve out our relationship time, but he's the reason that, you know, we've been able to homeschool.
Sorry about that. Amazing. That's okay. Yeah. That's a good mama must have. And yeah, for all of the single parents out there, sending all of our love to you. You are all doing an amazing job, and you can, you know, take some of this information and apply it to relationships with your family, with your coworkers or other friends and contacts. But yeah, a lot of respect for single parents right now. And absolutely. You already mentioned, Allison, how people can reach you. And you're on Instagram as well, right? At Allison Vila, is it?
Yeah. Instagram is Allison. So Allison_Vila. So it's double L, double underscore, and then double L again, to find me on Instagram.
Easy to remember. Well, thank you for sharing such valuable information. Everybody check out the Couplehood podcast, the Couple Sandbox, and Allison also offers coaching because you are a psychotherapist. So therapy as well, right? For individuals and couples together. Is that correct?
Yes. I practice psychotherapy for individuals and for couples as well. And I offer everything virtually. So video sessions.
Amazing. Well, thanks again, Allison. We'd love to have you back and discuss, you know, all things relationship again. I'll just briefly go over what Dr. Tony has going on. So she has a hypnobirthing info session coming up. You can check out her website at hypnobirthingcalgary.com. And then I have my enrollment for the Wild Collective Toronto opening up in fall 2021. So you can get on the wait list at wildcollectivetoronto.com to hear what all the hype is about this International and Revolutionary Women's Health Community Initiative. So thank you everybody for joining us today. You can email us or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love you to subscribe, leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. And please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. Stay safe and healthy, everybody. Until next time. Thanks, Allison.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.